With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I want to change things around. You know me. I'm a mover and shaker. I want to experiment. And so I think, you know, what I proposed was that we extend the playoff format to 10 teams from each conference and play at least five games prior to going into playoffs. And if we do that, every team in the Eastern Conference would have a chance at least of making the playoffs, and all but two in the Western Conference would do it.
That's Mark Cuban, courtesy NBC Sportsnet, with his idea for how basketball is going to return. And the NBA dealing with some of these similar issues that both baseball and hockey are trying to negotiate right now, as well as football. But it does appear that players and ownership and management have a greater reserve of trust from which they are operating right here that may provide for some more reasonable optimism for their return than the other leagues. Somebody who's been out ahead of this plan is the guy we're going to talk to next. Keith Smith of Yahoo is on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Keith, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I was impressed that you were on this story weeks ago, the possibility of what the Disney plan could offer based on the unique infrastructure, both the size and the infrastructure that they have. When did you first, and how did you first start to get word of this possibility?
Sure. Well, for me, I worked for Disney for nearly 20 years before, 3 weeks before the season went on pause is when I left the company to cover the NBA full time. And so my timing's nothing if not impeccable there. But prior to that, I had been with Disney for 20 years. And as all these ideas of single site plans started coming out, I've been to Las Vegas a bunch of times for Summer League and I love what they do. But I kept thinking, you know, Disney has all the same things and it's private property and they can do that. And that's when I got together with my editor at Yahoo and said, hey, I have this idea. What do you think? And he said, yeah, let's run with it. And we put it out and it published on April 16th.
You put out a pair of juxtaposed maps today that absolutely blew my mind, because the number of times I've been to Disney and been to the various parks and been around the area, I never realized that just generally adding up the total land area, it is approximately the size of the island of Manhattan. That is amazing to consider when you think about how much property we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's 39 square miles. It's actually twice the size of Manhattan proper and roughly the size of San Francisco. And how I put it into terms for my simple brain to understand is I live on one end of the property, and to the other end, it's about a 20-minute car ride with no traffic or anything like that. That's how long it takes. So it's a massive property that has, you know, lots and lots of space, and there's a lot of questions of, you know, how could you do this and be open and those things. And I think once you start to put a little scale to it, people start to understand a little bit better.
As you understand it, how true a bubble would it be? Would there be day-to-day hotel workers or food service workers who would be going home to their families outside the property, or would everybody indeed be kept on property?
Yeah, that's all still developing and still coming together. There is the option, Disney, as part of their proposal, from what I was told, said, you know, we can ask our cast members, that's Disney lingo for employees, to shelter in place with the NBA so that they aren't moving back and forth. That's not enough. common thing here in Florida. Fortunately, one of the realities is hurricanes. And when we have those, we have to shelter in place as cast members in the various resorts and those locations with the guests to make sure that they're taken care of. So they would be able to get enough people to volunteer to do that, to stay inside the quote-unquote bubble or campus or whatever we're using as the buzzword today. Because my read on the situation from what I've been told is they want to keep it fairly closed. Now, I've heard the players say, there's going to be people, they're not going to have to stay. You know, a couple players have said that. And I've been told there's going to be a lot of freedom of movement within the areas that are accessible to the NBA, but it's not a, you know, head off to downtown Orlando, which is 20 miles away, or to Tampa or Miami for the night and then come back. That doesn't seem to be what the plan is going, but that's all still being developed by the NBA and the Players Association and Disney as partners in this.
We looked at the possibilities being some kind of play-in arrangement as well as a playoff, just a regular continuation of the season before a playoff, or a large-scale battle royal 30-team playoff tournament structure, or they'll just select a number of teams to begin a playoffs and start a postseason. What do you think is most likely?
I think I'm starting to lean towards probably what's most likely is either they bring only the 16 teams that are currently in the playoffs. I've been told by folks with the league that they believe the spread in the East is 5 games. The spread in the West is 3.5 games. They don't feel overly bad if they say we're going to cut it, you know, the season as where it ended and bring those teams. But there is also the idea of bringing the 4 Western Conference teams that are currently outside the playoff picture, but still within striking distance, to bring them as well and do some form of play-in to kind of have the sense of fairness of we saw this through. So it's going to be some combination of those is my guess. There is still motivation to bring all 30 teams, primarily to help them reach their regional sports network contracts and fulfill those. Teams are anywhere from 3 to 7 games short of fulfilling the 70-game marker, which is where the vast majority of those trigger. But that seems to be lessening by the day, the desire to bring in these teams that are really just coming to play out the string. I think they're really kind of locking into, let's get the playoff teams, or the playoff plus plan is kind of how it's being referred to.
We were laughing about this yesterday, that our buddy Joe Cowley, who covers the Bulls for the Sun-Times, he did a Twitter poll giving Bulls fans the option, would you rather the Bulls be involved in a play-in, continuing the season, in a 30-team playoff, or done for the year? 69% of Bulls fans want them done for the year. And it is completely understandable, as they've had this front office changeover and actually some real optimism, that the idea of the Bulls being somehow resurrected as the Jim Boylan zombie team is just a turnoff to Bulls fans. I wonder how many other teams are in that unique position.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. I'm a little surprised it's quite that overwhelming. But I do know folks who have said that. They're like, look, our team's terrible. I don't want to do anything that hurts our draft position. Let's just, you know, call it what it is. And from the front office and coaching side, there are a couple of front office folks that I spoke to and a couple coaches who believe, you know, hey, this doesn't make sense for us to come back. We're really only doing this for financial reasons. We're not going to play any of our star guys, any of our key players moving forward. We're just going to move on and do what we do. And I think what gets really interesting there as you kind of look at this is, you know, how do you weigh that if you're the NBA? You got to be careful. Now, a part of me says, that's not really any different than late March, early April, through the end of the season anyway. Those teams kind of play out the strings. Guys all of a sudden have back spasms or a far different connotations then, but flu-like symptoms that keep them out of games. And you're seeing, you know, the guys who maybe, you know, don't have much of a future with the team playing out the strings. So it's going to be interesting to see how they put this together. But that sentiment is not entirely unshared around the league of, let's just call it done because we're so far out of this.
It seems like that everybody involved is prepared to weather a positive test or tests. And I'm not exactly sure how, if it would mean some automatic quarantines. And the controversy, if somebody tests positive and they say, well, wait a second, that guy was at a practice facility with LeBron, and now LeBron is done for 2 weeks. And what that would mean and how that stuff is going to be enforced. Is that all just up in the air? And that's not even getting to the desire of the players to agree to do some of these things.
Yeah, no, I will say what's not up in the air is the fact that the NBA and the Board of Governors and the Players Association have all reached agreement that one positive test can't shut everything down. It can't be, like it was previous, because if that's going to be the case, then let's call the season done and let's start planning for how do we have the best season next year that we possibly can. So everyone's in agreement of if a player tests positive, we're going to have to treat it like an injury or like an illness during the playoffs, and that player's out for whatever the determined amount of time needs to be, and we move on. And the example that was brought to the forefront was Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson got hurt in the middle of the NBA Finals, and nobody said, well, we got to pause the Finals. We can't continue. And that's, I know it's different things, but those are the things that have been talked about. Now, from the player side, the vast majority of the players want to play. They're open. They understand the testing. They have some hesitancy around the ones I have spoken with, and this has also been reported by others. They don't love the nasal swab one where it's, jammed feels like almost into your brain. They don't really like the idea of that. So there is, what does the testing look like? But everybody understands that testing immediately upon arrival at the single site, testing regularly throughout the entirety of the time that they're there is going to be necessary. And everybody seems to be on the same page of, hey, that's what we got to do this. And that's what we have to do.
What about access to their own families? What are they going to be sacrificing regarding that kind of contact under this plan?
Sure, yeah. So when this initially came up of a single site, it was, can they bring families? Is that going to be a huge issue? And it's funny, a month ago when that was an initial conversation, I talked to a player about that, and his response to me was, man, I've been with my family for 2 months. I'm ready for a break. I'm ready to go back to work. As someone who's been in the house with my family, I kind of understand that sentiment a little bit. But one of the things that they have said is, Disney is willing to work with the NBA to say, all right, if what we got to do is provide, the ability to bring the families along, that's fine. We can make that work. That's, completely doable. What seems to have changed really, and I would say the last week and a half to 2 weeks, is a lot of the players I'm talking to are starting to look at this as, this is a business trip. I'm going there to try and win a championship. And I want to cut out any distractions that are possible. I'm kind of looking at this as an extended road trip, and off we go, and then we'll figure it out from there. So I think it's going to be some kind of mixture in there of, what do they ultimately decide on, families or not? And then if families are allowed, I don't know that you're going to see every player bring the entire family with them anyway.
We are talking with Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports. You follow him on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Now, I was wondering this, and maybe we'll never get an answer to this, but the absolute cultural phenomenon that ESPN's The Last Dance was, and we're still seeing the ripple effect in the memorabilia market and what this is doing for Bulls stuff and Jordan shoes, and just how, here in Chicago, we were doing our Monday shows after the Sunday broadcast were like Bulls post-game shows, and it became this thing. We knew it was going to be big, and we knew it was just going to be the right time for it. ESPN knew it. Massive numbers. Do you think the NBA, or to what extent do you think the NBA took notice of what the game can still mean, and what is something from 20 years ago where we all knew the outcome, the power of basketball, the power of basketball celebrity and basketball drama? Do you think that served to remind people of what how the game can touch people and maybe inform their desire to come back even greater?
Yeah, I think there is some truth to that. I know you know, talking to different folks around the league, everyone was watching, you know, whether it was players, coaches, you know, just about everybody was, you know, really engrossed in that. And for you know, guys of my age, I lived through the entire thing. So not all of it was new, but I still found myself completely enthralled every week and was, you know, thrilled to watch it. And there's definitely from the ESPN side, the ratings, as you mentioned, were phenomenal. And the NBA has looked at it and said, hey, even some of these old broadcasts of games that they've had on, whether it be NBA TV or ESPN or ABC on occasion, those are doing pretty good. And that, I think, clearly tells them people miss basketball and people would love to have it back. And I think it's what's unfortunate for the NBA is we were down the home stretch and gearing up for the playoffs, which is, you know, generally considered to be the most exciting part of the season. And everything just got shut down. And I think the NBA knows they're really well positioned. If they can come back and give sports fans the playoffs, that this is going to really be huge for everybody. And there's the potential with, you know, baseball, the fits and starts for them to of getting back. And it's starting every day that passes, it looks like that seems less and less likely with all their things. And then, you know, hockey is, you know, looks like they're moving in a direction, but I think the NBA wants their share of that market and wants to be one of those leagues that comes back to take care of sports fans and their desire to watch live sports where they don't already know the results.
Before we let you go, you mentioned the regional sports network broadcast contracts and what might be salvaged there. And as I remember, certain rounds of the playoffs had been double dipped, where you could toggle back and forth between your national TNT broadcast or an ESPN broadcast and your home RSN broadcast. But now that everything would be centralized, would they continue to share the feed in that regard to help take care of some of those individual local deals? Or do you think that these broadcasts all would be solely national broadcasts?
No, I think that is still on the table. I believe that's for the first round only that they allow that, you know, the RSNs to broadcast the games in tandem with the national broadcast. And I think that is on the table. I think from what I understand is there's no real plan to change that. A lot of people have said, well, if this is hosted at Disney, at ESPN Wide World of Sports, it's only going to be ESPN who broadcasts. And I was told absolutely not TNT for that broadcast. It's one or two broadcast these games. What is interesting is it sounds like there is one of the thoughts on the table is the broadcasters themselves will be remote. They may not be on the site. They may be calling these games remote, like we see sometimes in international competitions and the like there. So that is a, you know, potential possibility there that we see that, and that might, you know, look a little bit different. But I think they want to do everything they can to make it work with their regional partners, if at all possible.
Keith Smith, great stuff. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Y'all stay safe, you and yours.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.